Welcome back, folks. Second hour of War Room already. We're not even done talking about the Haitians yet. Now we're going to stick to the discussion about the Supreme Court decision that, yes, in fact, we can get rid of people who are here on temporary protected status that was supposed to expire in 2011, or was it 2011, right? 18 months. Supposed to be an 18-month stay starting in 2010. Here we are in 2026 being told you are literally Hitler if you ask them to go home now. You can go home now, actually. Stephen Miller puts it at Stephen M on X. This may shock the media to hear, but for 99.999% of its history, there was not a Haitian TPS diaspora in Springfield, Ohio. The Democrats illegally airlifted the Haitian migrants to Springfield in the months before President Trump took office, in addition to the ones that had been here since 2010. So yeah, that's exactly what happened. And it's almost funny, again, like the video that we played last week, where they're like, the Haitian diaspora is core to the identity of the state of Ohio. And it's just like, or the woman in the video that we showed, where she's just like, we built this country. You don't even speak English. You got here yesterday. What the hell do you mean you built this country? It's completely insane. And this is the type of stuff that's supposed to make us feel better. This is supposed to make us feel better, Olivia Jones. Olivia Jones _06 on X wrote, ICE is now deporting over 30,000 illegal immigrants every month. Raise your hand if you approve. Well, that sounds like a lot. 30,000? They're deporting 30,000? That's 1,000 a day. Here's the problem, though. During the Biden administration, on average, 200,000 to 300,000 migrants cross the border into America every month. So you are doing about 1/10 of what's necessary to just get back to where we were in 2020. I want to get back to where we were in 1950. So you're going to have to deport about 1 million people a month. And of course, that's only if we had been deporting 300,000 people a month since Trump first got into office. That would mean that we are on course to simply stabilize our population numbers back to where they were just before Biden got into office, rather. So from 2020 to 2024, every single month, 200 to 300,000 people came into this country. We're supposed to be satisfied with sending 1/10 of them back. But what happens when the Democrats take over? They all get citizenship. They all remain here forever. And then they all get to give visas to all of their families. And of course, we know, because we played the video last week as well, that there are some number of migrants literally just twiddling their thumbs in Mexico, waiting for a Democrat to get back in so they can come across, knowing that they won't be deported and won't be inconvenienced in the slightest. So I'm not approving of 30,000 illegal immigrants a month, a day, maybe. I mean, if you could do 30,000 a day, now we're talking. Now we might actually have some hope of getting this country back on its feet. But 30,000 a month, okay, great. So in 1 year, you'll have deported the same amount that came in a single month under Joe Biden. So if you just do that for about 100 years, what would that math be? 30,000 a month. How long would we have to do 30,000 a month to get back to 2020 population numbers? I think it'd be about 100 years to undo the damage they did to us in 4 years. So again, would it be hard to deport that number of people? Probably not. I think we could do it. If we could manage bringing them all in, I think we could manage getting them all out. I think it'd be easier, actually. Now we have their information. You know, they downloaded the app. But we chose not to. We chose to go to war with Iran instead. So there you go.
The info war is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
All right, welcome back, folks. So, yes, last week the Supreme Court did decide that temporary protected status initially given to Haitians in 2010, meant to expire in 2011, could in fact be allowed to expire here in the year of our Lord 2026. And after this probably unnecessary but very tedious and difficult to achieve victory, Republicans were quick to throw it all out of the window for some reason, for some inexplicable reason. I could guess. I mean, that might be a fun game, right? So the headline is Mark Wayne Mullen, Haitians on TPS can seek legal status. Haitians who have been in the U.S. for years under TPS can apply for permanent resident status or for temporary visa, Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen said on Sunday. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, Mullen defended the Trump administration's decision to end TPS for hundreds of thousands of migrants from Haiti and Syria. After the Supreme Court ruled, the administration has the authority to terminate the program. Mullen said that TPS recipients can still apply for lawful permanent residence or temporary visas if they qualify, telling these individuals have a couple of choices. So I guess the question is, why would he say this? Why would he want them to stay? What is the point of winning this Supreme Court victory if you just go, yeah, but, you know, they can still stay. Actually, it's fine if they want to stay. And again, I cannot even remember the number of times this has happened in just this last, you know, the Trump administration. I mean, we can't get the SAVE Act passed for the life of us. Like, we cannot get anything that just our country needs to basically run on a basic level. We can't get done. Can't have, you know, accurate vote counting or anything of the sort. Yes, Donald Trump was able to pardon the January Sixers, but then when a $1.2 billion fund came up to pay them for their pain and suffering they were subjected to illegally under the Biden administration's political persecution, it was the Republicans that stepped up and stopped it. The Republicans. So again, time and again, the regular Republican people, the regular American citizens, will fight and suffer and sacrifice and achieve victory for the Republican Party, and they literally just spit in our face. Not only do they not achieve what they're supposed to be achieving, which in and of itself would be frustrating but understandable if we lived in a totally communist system and you had really good, you know, nationalists up there just trying to do stuff and they just, you know, get, you know, bureaucratically stymied at every pass. Okay, I can understand that. They have no barrier to do what they want to do. The Republicans have absolutely no opposition that could fundamentally stop them from carrying these things out. They just don't do it. They don't want to. They don't care. It's incredibly frustrating. And so again, we went back first to 2010, and you can see Janet Napolitano giving temporary protected status, calling it a economic gift to Haiti, to the Haitians, because the Haitians here would be sending back money. And she's basically like, that's our money they're sending. So that's sort of a economic gift to them, admitting that this is not an economic benefit to America. Now it's being pitched as if it's like, but what would these companies do without Haitians to work the machines? The Haitians have been a crucial part of revitalizing Central Ohio. But no, originally it was pitched as this is economic resources for this failed state. before they'd rewritten it. Hello, Alex.
Have you told people what you got caught doing?
I returned the hat, sir. I did.
Bigley only sent us two of these. I stole one. I've been wearing it. I wore it in today, and I said, Harrison, I noticed there was a hat in here. It's missing. I said, did you take it? And Harrison said, yes, sir, I cannot lie. That's how coveted these are at thealexjonesstore.com. That you may have it. Actually, I have Bigley sending us more. I design, you like it.
I love it.
No, actually,
and in fact,
everybody takes the stuff they said of it after we've shown it. But the point is, this is very coveted.
It's very
cool. It does
fund
the operation. I just want you to tell a story about your covetedness. This is, I present it to you.
I really did. Thank you very much.
You deserve it. You didn't actually steal it.
Well, thank you.
But I did. The point is, I knew when it was gone, you had to have it.
I did check.
And you have to have it and fund our operation if you want us to expand. We love you.
I did check. I made sure there were two because I didn't want to take the only one.
But see, I wanted one.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well,
I had to steal one.
And actually, as soon as I got home, my son saw it and was like, are those guns on that hat? I said, yeah. So now
I've already told Bigley, mail us more.
All right. Well, folks. You can be like
deluxe.
Us.
I just came in to be obnoxious. This wasn't planned. I'm being silly. You're kicking ass, by the way.
Thank you. Well, no, it's a great hat.
I was just on Eric Boland. He's like, why are you anti-Israel? And I said, I've never been anti-Israel. I'm anti-Netanyahu running our country. And I was right. And Trump admits he got lied to and says he's lost respect for them. And they're trying to control him. And that they better watch it. Nobody supports Israel now but us. I am of that camp. We were vindicated. Joe Kent was vindicated. We don't make that point enough to the neocons still attacking us, calling us Qatari agents.
100%. Yeah. And if they'd listened to us the whole time, we wouldn't even be in this situation. It'd be better for Israel.
Yeah, I want to deal with China and this. Big Tech and the left and Mondami. He was asking, well, are you for Mondami now? It's all like, are you for Mondami or for them? No, I don't want any people that want to run the country and don't see themselves as America first here.
100%.
Anyways, I didn't mean to interrupt. You're kicking ass.
Well, thank you, sir.
Seriously, folks, we're fundraising to hire more crew and expand. There's some badass 250th anniversary stuff. I said it's all limited edition. Some of this stuff's too good. It's not limited edition.
It'll last forever. But look,
I don't know why everybody loves it. I wore that out in public this week and I got like 10 comments.
It is a very cool hat. I don't know what it is either. It's classic. It's simple. Yeah, very simple. Got the two musket design. It's very high quality. The stitching is real. It's not just like a patch. That's all you can actually see here. If the crew can go to dot cam.
I apologize.
No, please, I get to talk more about this hat. You can actually see, I mean, you can see the stitching on the other side. It's not just a patch on top.
You want your son wants that?
He took it, yeah. My 5-year-old. My 5-year-old is wearing it as we speak.
We're going to make an ad out of that, though.
It's very cool. It's a very cool hat. And look, folks. You're going to be the stylish person at the 4th of July barbecue. That's all I'm saying. I want to see these hats seared with fireworks because of irresponsible celebration during July 4th. But I wasn't lying, folks. I really did take that. I didn't do it surreptitiously, though. On Friday afternoon, I picked the hat off the shelf and I looked around. And I said, okay, there's still a hat there, so I'm not taking the last one. And I left with it on my head.
Let me see.
I wasn't secretive.
I just caught you, American. No, you were like.
Exactly.
Mine! Thought your head would be bigger. Do not get this hat. Do not support the broadcast. Support Mondami.
Support Mondami, that's right.
You're going to get free bus fare, double bus fares.
You know, the whole oh, you're against, you know, Israel killing kids, so you must be Muslim thing. You know, no one ever says that rock is on scissors side just because it doesn't like paper, right? It's okay to be like, I'm against them taking over. I'm an American Christian. I would like to live in an American Christian country.
Are you in the Hells Angels or the Banditos? I'm like, I don't have a motorcycle.
And it is. It's divide and conquer, 100%. All right. Get the hat, folks. You can get the hat today. I think it's on discount, even though we could sell out of this thing without giving any discount at full price. And like I said, folks, I mean, pretty much any store you go in these days, whether it's a little local, you know, kitsch store, or you go in Walmart or Target or wherever, they almost all have a big display with their merchandise for America's 250th. They're doing it because they think they can make some money off you. We're doing it because this is our driving force. This is our life. This is what we've dedicated ourselves to. The 250th anniversary to us is not just, you know, oh, let's rotate out the seasonal merchandise, you know, get rid of the pool stuff, move in the patriotic stuff. No, this is our lifeblood. This is what we truly believe. This is who we are. And if it's who you are, too, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And It depends on where you live, but you may still be able to get those delivered by July 4th so you can have it in time for the big 250th celebration. Okay. We're still talking about Haitians. We're still talking about the inability for Republicans to do anything that they promise for their people and seem like almost it's like insulting. It's like insulting. It's like we finally win instead of going out and going, we got victory. TPS is canceled. You thought you could hook and crook and manipulate your way into citizenship. Not in this country. You're going to follow the law. We have laws for a reason. The Democrats have been trying to manipulate it and screw us over by their legalistic machinations for too long. And we're putting a stop to it now. There's right and there is wrong. These people were given temporary protected status. We didn't have to give that to them. This was a gift from us. This was a benefit we are not obliged to give, that we are not required to give, that we gave out of the goodness of our heart, because America is, at the end of the day, the most charitable nation in the history of the world. We're happy to lend a hand in trying times. That does not mean you then get to live here forever and take advantage of our goodness and then call us the bad guys when we decide that you've taken a little bit too much. You've taken enough now. We have to prioritize ourselves. For you to then criticize us for that, it's not just wrong, it's insulting. So yes, we're sending them back. Anybody with TPS orders right now, this is your warning. You have a year to get out, and if you're not gone, it's not just going to be sending you back to Haiti. You're going on a work chain. You're a chain gang. You're going to clean trash off the highway for a couple years to repay us for the beneficence that we showed you, that you took advantage of, felt no need to reciprocate whatsoever, and in fact felt robbed when we merely withdrew our endless and unqualified support of your third world nation. We don't get that. We don't get that speech. We don't get the triumph. We don't get to actually win in court and then put that into action. Every single time something like this happens, and it's happened multiple times in the last week, it's exactly the same cycle. What happened last week? The Supreme Court said, yes, we're getting rid of TPS. You can deport them. And Mayor Mamdani of New York City came out and said, no, we're not following that. I don't care if it's the Supreme Court law of the land. We're not only not going to comply, we're going to actively obstruct the enforcement of this. And then nothing happened. That was a week ago. I haven't heard about it since. So I guess that's what's happening now. Because whether it's DEI or protected status, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if the Supreme Court decides in our favor, because the Republicans refuse to actually enforce it. And the Democrats know that. And so they ignore it and do whatever the hell they want anyway. So I get, you know, what I can imagine now is probably 10 years from now, there will be another Supreme Court decision about temporary protected status. It'll be the same Haitians that are here today. They'll be here 10 years from now. And once again, we'll have to go through this whole rigmarole just proving that we actually have the right to deport these people, and then they still won't get deported. So until we have actual tangible action to back up the victories, this doesn't mean anything. Now, it would mean something if we lost, because that's the way this works. That's just the way this always works. If we win in court, nothing changes, nothing happens. The Republicans themselves come in to hamstring us or cut our Achilles tendon at the last second, even when there's no benefit to them. Just like, here's a $1.2 billion fund for your constituents, the victims of political persecution. And the Republican senators go, doesn't sound very fiscally conservative to me. No, thank you. No, I won't have the $1 billion to inject directly into my political machine. I think I'd rather stand on principle here. War with Iran, I'll take two. Thanks. Like, this makes no sense. This makes no sense. This is retarded. So we went back in time and we showed you 2010 when Janet Napolitano assured us that they would all be gone by 2011. Then we showed you a clip from 2011 when the Republican congressman of Ohio was completely baffled and confused and like couldn't even understand that people were objecting to tens of thousands of the third world refugees being dropped in their neighborhood and given jobs. So let's go back and look at how things have gone since then. Let's go to clip number 29 here. This is the chief of police of Springfield, Ohio, talking about the unfolding, it's like a crisis spawn point. It's not just the crisis of Haitians. It's crisis upon crisis upon crisis, all created by the influx of Haitians. Let's watch.
You've got a city that's in absolute turmoil. Everybody's against everybody.
Chad Duncan is the police chief of Tremont City, Ohio, which is just outside of Springfield. He described a general atmosphere of lawlessness in Springfield, which he says is spreading to the surrounding area.
People that shouldn't be driving are out there, and they're allowing them to drive.
Chief Duncan described one of his recent traffic stops involving a Haitian migrant.
He didn't even have a license, coming through town at 44 mile an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. That's the second time in 2 weeks.
And you towed his car?
Oh, yeah. Towed it for the second time.
And Springfield wouldn't have?
No.
He suggested that one reason Springfield authorities might be going soft on reckless driving is to protect the Haitians' immigration status.
If you get two misdemeanors, you are subject to be deported.
Since Springfield became a media sensation...
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats.
Chief Duncan says his access to Springfield's police radio frequencies was cut off.
What exactly was going on with that?
Well, we were able to hear them on the radio. They have decided to go silent. We don't know what's going on in the city. That happened the day they brought the state troopers in to help them out.
Why would you think they would make things hard to communicate?
Nobody can hear what you say, and they don't know what you're doing, so they'll have to answer to it. There was a threat at the school today. I couldn't hear it. I just caught wind of it from another guy, from another chief that's
something
right next to the city.
Right.
If they would have taken the time, instead of worrying about the elites lying in their pockets, and just took the time, this could have went so much smoother and been so much more beneficial to everybody involved. But instead...
And so because that didn't happen, how do you think this ends?
I really don't know what the end result will be, but right now it's not good.
The end result will be South Africa. I mean, that's where we're headed. I thought there were a couple really interesting parts of that. The first is the fact that he talks about that if you get two misdemeanors, you're then eligible for deportation. And so what should be happening is that all of these Haitians should be deported because they all keep committing misdemeanors. Only the city authorities go, you know, if we give misdemeanors to these guys, they get deported. So suddenly it becomes, is it worth it to get, you know, this guy's going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. Does he deserve to get deported for that? And it's like, well, yes, he does, because it's not necessarily even about the misdemeanor itself. It's about weeding out, incompatible immigrants. That, like, if you can't manage to avoid the cops for 5 years while you're here on your best behavior, like, we don't need you. We don't need you. How often are you even given a misdemeanor ticket? I mean, it's not hard to avoid being pulled over or arrested by the cops. It's really not a difficult thing to do. I mean, these days in America, it's almost hard to get arrested in certain situations. But this is another thing where it's like you talk about the Haitians increasing the crime rate. The way that's interpreted by the leftist, the brainwashed idiot, is you therefore think black people are intrinsically and inherently criminal or something, right? It's always extrapolated out to be like, this is evidence that you are the worst person ever that wants everybody who's not white to burn in a painful death. And it's like, because I can read a chart? What are you talking about? Because I can say this line's bigger than this line, therefore I must hate all non-white people? Like, that's the extrapolation that occurs. But you can tell even in this, yeah, you could talk about the uptick in criminality with all other considerations eliminated, all other, you know, impacts into that status eliminated. And that would still probably exist because, well, and actually, I've actually got a story about this. I'll have to find it here. But it ties into everything that we always talk about. It's basically they do a test where they leave a wallet with money in it and they see who returns it. And it turns out the more likely you are to return the wallet with money, the more likely you are to be a success in life. There's a weird sort of correlation. So, you know, you can point to a third world nation that is the worst in the world by a lot of metrics. And you can go, is this because they are, you know, do not act in a moral way, or do they not act in a moral way because of their situation? It doesn't matter at a certain point. My point is, regardless of all of that, even if they were the most law-abiding people in the world, the system that they've been set up in incentivizes the local authorities not to punish them. When you don't punish criminals, they're incentivized to commit more and greater crime. If they're committing more and greater crime, and you know that you've covered up their crimes in the past and probably should have kept them out of the situation that got them in more trouble, you're even further incentivized to cover up their greater crime. So, even like, again, it has, taking all of the racial or even cultural stuff out of it, it's the American media landscape and political atmosphere that makes this such a ridiculous, nonsensical, inadequate, ineffective program to drop all these people off, to demand they conform to American laws, and then not punish them for that, and then actually go, well, if I give them a misdemeanor ticket, they'll be deported, so I'm not going to give them a misdemeanor ticket. I assume you'll never give them a misdemeanor ticket. So now they just have a license to speed, and they'll know that even if they get pulled over, the cops will be too scared to actually write them a ticket. The way it should work is that none of these things should be a consideration. If the law is two misdemeanors, they get deported, then that's the law, and that's what should happen. But time and time again, and again in every single instance, you would see this, where if it's a Somali that just like speeds every day and has gotten in multiple car accidents, caused all this trouble, you'll still have a cop be like, but, you know, I'm not going to write him a ticket because I don't want the man to get deported. The poor guy. But then if you have, you know, a actual white American Ohio native, do you think he would have even the slightest concern? You know, if it was some girl, it's like, oh, I already have 2 points on my license. If I get a ticket here, I'm going to lose my license. I won't be able to go to work. I'm going to lose my house. I mean, I know I was going five over, but like, is it? And they'll just be like, well, should have thought out that before speeding. You know, there'll be no consideration for the native birth American, you know, heritage American. There'll be no, you know, leniency for any of us, only for them. And they know it, and they take advantage of it, and their kids know it, and they take advantage of it. And by the way, now the powers that be, like, if you want to know where the New World Order is going, look at what Mark Carney is doing. Mark Carney in Canada just came out with a video where he says, we're not a melting pot, we're a mosaic. So the powers that be in Western countries, in Western white countries, are now no longer even saying melting pot, because that actually implies assimilation. It has now become a mosaic. So they're now telling immigrants, come over here, behave in the same way you did back home, import your same culture, create a little colony inside Canada. You're not supposed to melt, you're not supposed to become Canadian. Canada is now a meaningless term referencing a mosaic. In other words, just a collection of totally disparate, unconnected people competing with each other. What a wonderful nation. Is that a nation?
I don't sell crap. Bovine Colostrum, and I'll get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigly, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you that are, you know, if you're a VIP, you get surveys. And, you know, once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting? Or what are you liking best? Or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us. And it came back. Bovine colostrum was in the top two or three every time. And so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket scientist to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. And you can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I need to know. So we got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, and now I'm taking it because I don't know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk in 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I mean, I know it's great. I know that going back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, they had a sickly kid or a preemie. They would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It's like always in all the literature, like the medical doctors, like that's the, oh my God, donkey. Donkey colostrum is like, whoa, man. I mean, like that, or donkey. And then horse is good. Goats are good, but it's always donkey's the best. It says, you know, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a jenny. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, you know, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys, so you're going to have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're going to private label it from, and I'm like, eh, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff, and a couple days later, I go to have dinner at my parents', and I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. You know, women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us. She orders it from us. But that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take, you know, months for you to see it with the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Make sure you're following us. You can follow Alex at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Follow at AJN Live. And, of course, watch us on Rumble. I got so many videos to go to, so much more to talk about today. We've been through half the show basically just talking about the Supreme Court decision about temporary protected status. There are some other Supreme Court decisions I want to talk about, but I've got so many good videos about this. And again, just sort of laying out that, like, this outcome that we're currently experiencing was imminently predictable 15 years ago when TBS was first being promoted. But people who were sounding the alarm about it were demonized and shouted down and called bigots by their very own Republican congressmen who now seem to understand the threat that's being posed, but still refuse to act on it or do anything that they are now confirmed by the Supreme Court allowed to do to expel some of these people. We're supposed to celebrate 30,000 deportations a month when 10 times that number came in every month during Biden's term in office. And you have people like this, Mehdi Hasan, 3 days ago says, quote, "Great Replacement is a literal neo-Nazi conspiracy theory." Then 2 days later, "Maybe the Europeans should have thought about that about all that back when they were colonizing Africa in the 19th century. So it's a neo-Nazi conspiracy theory that's also completely true and revenge for improving your countries 200 years ago. You know, one of our ancestors taught one of Media San's ancestors to use a fork, and he hasn't forgiven us since. Genocide is required to repay the crime of building railroads, I guess. And you just got to understand, like, maybe they're not all like this. Probably not all of them. But what percentage of people, and, you know, Media San, he's a smart dude. He knows what he's doing. He's not, you know, some crazy socialist in college or something. He's like a prominent political person. And even he, you know, he's just like, yeah, I'm going to call you a Nazi for knowing about the Great Replacement. But I believe in the Great Replacement, and I think it's good as payback against white people for colonization. So he shouldn't be in this country. So he should be forcibly expelled from the country. And if he doesn't like it, he can cry about it. But why are we obligated to just allow this guy to subvert our country from our country in the name of our country? Great Replacement is a literal neo-Nazi conspiracy theory. But also, in response to Jason Lawler saying in 20 years, it'll just be France's Africans playing against Spain's Africans to play Italy's Africans in the finals. He says maybe the Europeans should have thought about that all the way back when they were colonizing Africa in the 19th century. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe we should have thought about that. I wonder what white people would have done differently back then. Probably would have been a lot less nice, that's for damn sure. They probably should have thought about that before we gave these people medicine, food. I don't think that's the point he was trying to make. I don't think that's the point Media San was trying to make exactly. But yeah, no, we definitely should have thought about that. But I also love that tweet. I've been saying that forever, even before I was working at InfoWars. I'd always wanted to make a skit. Nobody else ever thought it was as funny as me. But I always thought it'd be funny to do a future skit about the Olympics where it's just, you know, the marathon is just all Kenyans in different national uniforms. And then, like, just like, what is the point of that? I mean, the Olympics are a beautiful thing. And, like, it is, it's one of these things I've talked about with the World Cup or anything else. It's like, okay, France's Africans are playing in Swedish uniformed Africans, which wouldn't make much sense, except you look at the crowds cheering at home and what do you know? They're all Africans. So what are we doing here? Like, the idea of the World Cup, of the Olympics, it really is a beautiful thing if you adhere to the actual definition of the word nation, which has to do with your birth, right? Same root word as natal, nature, nation. It's your family. It's your extended family. So how cool is it when you get to see, like, the best German whatever compete against the best Ghanaian whatever, and you get to see the differences and style? Like, that's what I love about the World Cup when it was the World Cup. I didn't even watch the World Cup this time because it literally is just like, where are the Frenchmen? It's just a bunch of black Africans. Like, these, they aren't French. They might speak the French language. They might wear the French uniform, but I like seeing families of people compete against each other, celebrating each other's victories and differences and genuine diversity. I don't want to see a Kenyan in an American uniform, a Kenyan in a French uniform, and a Kenyan in a Dutch uniform, you know, fighting to the last to get that gold medal. It's like, who cares? These actual global international events are actually a beautiful idea. And the last World Cup I watched, it was specifically the German and Ghanaian team, the team from Germany and the team from Ghana playing against each other. And it was totally fascinating because it was like the German team were German. They were like a well-engineered machine, just like passing the ball with precision, always keeping it moving, just like very tactical, very, I don't even understand soccer, but I could appreciate the tactics, the strategy, the fundamentals that went into it. The Ghanaian players were just like the strongest players you'd ever seen. And they would just boot the ball across the entire field and get a goal. So it turned out they were actually kind of evenly matched. And it was actually fun to watch the two different characters of these two different nations competing against each other and seeing where one style works versus the other. One is not better than the other. Even whoever wins the ball game, it's not a moral judgment on you as a person. It's just a cool, fun human experience to see the very German mechanical, industrial, like playing the game versus the gun and just like boom and just hitting his heart. You know, that's cool. That's fun. That's human. That's very exciting. What is exciting about globalist versions of this? What is exciting about watching the little Chinese girl from America, the little Chinese girl from France, and the little Chinese girl from China all competing to be the best Chinese gymnast? You know, it's just like, what? Who cares? Who cares? So, like, that to me is very, like, I don't understand how people don't rebel at the way things are going. Even with the NFL and stuff, even that used to be, like, why are the team names what the team names are? It used to be connected to something real. Houston was the Oilers because they were in the oil business. Green Bay are the Packers because there was a big packing business, meat packing business there. That was the big industry. So it was the Steelers, the steel mills in Pennsylvania. Again, how cool is that? That's like, all right, we're going to get the best football playing steel mill workers and we're going to pit them against the best football playing oil field workers. And we're going to see who's better, the oil field workers or the steel workers. That's fun. And hey, these are our guys from Pittsburgh. These are Pittsburgh boys. The Pittsburgh boys are going to kick the butts out of the Houston boys. Like, that's cool. Now it's like, what connection? What connection do you have to your team, to even the name of the team, let alone the players that almost certainly grew up 1,000 miles away, played for some, you know, school team you don't cheer for? But hey, now the foreign owner of your team paid the most for him, so he's yours now. It's just like, does anybody ever get sick of just these things that once had meaning, had a tangible connection to the real world, just being replaced by the placebo facsimile version of them? Anybody ever get tired of this? Anyway, we go on and on. But at the end of the day, it's all about destroying the cultures that uphold individual resistance to tyranny, resistance to coercion or compulsion. And this is the important part. This is why these types of discussions for us always come back to this, because at the end of the day, there is a difference between our moral framework and theirs. The American belief system, the American morality is different and better than other moralities. And it's, these things are not even. These things are not equivalent. These things are not swappable. If you swap a bunch of people with American morality who grew up in American culture with American beliefs, if you swap them out with somebody from Somalia, they are not going to all of the sudden, by virtue of the magic dirt, suddenly start comporting themselves in a way that is aligned with American sensibilities. They're going to behave in their own way, which is worse than ours, which is not as good as ours. And by the way, let me put this out there. People who have bad intentions are treating what's going on with the Somalis and the Haitians as if this is a race thing. I think, in fact, this could be a fantastic opportunity for racial cohesion, racial allyship here in America. You know what black Americans don't do? They don't eat cats and dogs, folks. The Haitians do that. Is this not somewhere where we can reach across the aisle, black and white together? We can join hands as Americans and say, let's get rid of these damn Haitians. These people suck. Don't you agree? And the other person's like, yeah, they eat cats and dogs. Let's get them the hell out of here. This is America. This is nationalism solving the racial issue. I'm not against Haitians because they're black. I'm against them because they're foreigners. And we can all get on board of that, can't we? Is this not a well-known, I mean, do me a favor, see if you can find what, like, ghetto black people have to say about Haitians. Do you think there's a lot of racial solidarity there? Or do you think they think they're freaks and also want them out of the country? This could be a great opportunity for religious solidarity here in this country. Black and white Americans can all come together, put our differences aside, join hands, and hate Christians and Somali illegal immigrants together. Together, we can make this happen. We can make it possible. We need each other in this. We need each other. We need black people to let everybody know it's not, in fact, racist to want to protect your country from incursions by hostile outside third world forces. And the black people need the white people for the sheer scale of our population to get this stuff done. We need this. We, together, arm in arm, hand in hand, we can make America great again. But you cannot let the lefties convince you that you have anything in common with a bunch of weirdo Haitians that are here for all your stuff. Our stuff. Our collective stuff they're trying to steal, and we collectively should stop them. Let's go now to clip number 18 here. This is, again, locals there in Springfield, Ohio. We're not very happy about who's benefiting from the Haitian migrant population. Let's watch.
What's happening in Springfield? A Haitian invasion.
How many Haitians do you think have been sent here?
20,000. That's what they're saying.
And who pays for their housing?
Government assistance. You know, some of them do work. You know, the way I understand it, you know, a lot of them work at Dole, and Dole's paying for their houses. The staffing place on High Street, they said they was paying them like $12.50 an hour. So.
Did Springfield's residents used to work at Dole, and now they?
Yes. Yes.
So have they lost their jobs to Haitians?
Yeah, a lot of them has. And then, you know, we're supposed to call them visitors, neighbors, whatever. You know, if you start talking about them, you're supposed to be nice. And we talked to a lady a couple nights ago, and she said if she wasn't nice about it, you know, nice to them and talk about them nice, she could lose her job over it.
So you're supposed to call the Haitians visitors?
Yes. Neighbors, visitors.
Neighbors, visitors.
Freedom of speech. We can call them whatever we want. Yeah, the past 4 years they've been coming in here, but within the last 6 to 8 months, they've really come in.
Really?
I guess they're trying to get them all over here before Trump gets in office. And, you know, with the rumors about the ducks and the geese, I mean, I've never seen them with one, but they thinned out the population real good.
Fact checkers love to say this is fake, but the thing is, it's true. Dole Fresh does have a facility in Springfield, Ohio, and it has employed Haitian immigrants. They do things like pack ready-to-eat salads and more. Local reporting even confirms, but the company itself denies the specific number of Haitians, and this is the big one. They deny details on their immigration status. There is only one reason to deny details on immigration status, and that is because you're hiring the illegals that the Biden admin dumped in there. If we take a look at what the minimum wage is in Ohio, it's $11 an hour. The claim is that they're getting hired at just above that. And if they had to pay American citizens, an American citizen would make an average of about $15 to $22 in Ohio. So by importing all these Haitians, Democrats were able to help out their transnational companies by giving them minimum wage cheap foreign labor so they don't have to pay Americans $22 an hour. And then they get the votes from these people. It's a win-win.
Yeah, everybody wins except for the American people. The transnational corporations win, their stakeholders in the stock market win, the Haitians win, the NGOs importing the Haitians win, the government operatives who get to celebrate the immense amount of money they've given away as if that's a metric for success, they get to win. The, again, multinational corporations that aren't just hiring the Haitians, but are the ones like Coca-Cola or Pepsi Frito-Lay who benefit from the fact that the food stamps these people will be receiving can be spent on their products. It benefits everybody except for the American people, the town, Ohio, Springfield, or any of us. But yeah, everybody else is taking advantage of us, stealing from us, disadvantaging us for their own advantage. And we don't need to allow it. And there's no reason to allow it. There is no benefit to allow any of this. Even those things you could categorize as benefits are not actually beneficial. In other words, you could say that Dole is probably saving some money on doing this, but like, what is the ultimate goal of Dole? Is it to maximize the amount you're squeezing out from a collapsing, dying economic zone? Or do you want to actually have a customer base to continue to sell to into the future that's being eliminated because a couple decades from now, it's going to be nothing but food stamps and dependence as the feedback loop continues? Let's go to clip number 33 here. This woman absolutely nailed it. I'm not even sure. I'll have to find her name. This was posted by Ryan Dawson. And you can search that out. I'll find her actual name, though, but she absolutely kills it. Okay. Catherine Birbalsing. I'm not sure, but she's dead on the money. Let's watch.
Any young person, what history they learned at school, and they'll tell you, Hitler. Ask them what else? Slavery. Ask them what else? American civil rights. In fact, what little they know of history will be all about black and brown people fighting for equality against the white man. Women fighting men for the vote. Gay and trans people fighting for various rights. Our young people have been taught that history is simply one long story about various groups struggling under the oppressive dead white man. Out with Dickens, Shakespeare, Kipling, and Wordsworth.
She is going hard.
History is taught through an oppressor lens. The triangular slave trade, white men held the power. What about Britain ending the slave trade? More than a quick mention, if at all? No. What of the Arab slave trade that lasted three times as long as the triangular slave trade? No. Okay, so GCSE history in Britain is often taught as migration through time. So the idea that Britain has always been a land of immigrants is embedded in our children's heads. Most schools would prefer to concentrate learning about the tiny number of black people who existed in Tudor England over a thorough analysis of England's break from Rome. Medieval history becomes her story and is told through the eyes of Eleanor of Aquitaine, because after all, she was a woman. Ooh. Not to mention Weeks on King Mansa Musa of Mali, because he was a black Muslim. His bearing on British institutions, laws, and faith is non-existent. And the fact that he is said to have been the richest man in history, thanks in part to his massive slave-owning society,
yes,
is a detail somehow that teachers rarely ever teach. But it isn't She's just our fire. Schools. It's our general culture, too. Take your kids to a museum or an art gallery in any Western country, and you'll find the same narrative. As an example, when learning about aviation in London's Science Museum and the extraordinary feat that is man making massive machines move in the sky, a write-up on the wall explains that women and black people were historically barred from aviation schools and the military. Similarly, James Watt, the man who invented the steam engine and is considered the founder of the Industrial Revolution, has a write-up on the wall explaining that his early career involved slave trafficking, with a bonus analysis of the whole of Britain's complicity in the slave trade. They flatten the entire human story and all of its complexities into the narrative of oppressor and oppressed.
Absolutely incredible. You can follow her at Miss_Snuffy on X. White people are tired of being seen as racist. If white guilt permeates the online world in our schools, then our adults will feel guilty too. This helps neither whites nor ethnics. My ARC speech. Again, she's exactly right. And by the way, Mansa Musa, do we need to do a whole show on him? This is a guy, I'm not sure where this, it must have been like a BuzzFeed article or something. It must have been like, the richest people in the world. You'll have no idea who number one is. It's Mansa Musa. More than 10,000 Haitians in Massachusetts workforce, many filing crucial jobs, long-term care, construction, and transportation will lose their temporary protected status. Okay, bye. Bye. By the way, we've covered it. Dole is a member of the TENT program. Once again, if you don't understand, these corporations will import people. They will lobby to have the law changed to allow them to import people. If that doesn't work, they'll import people anyway. They will pay for these people's homes. They will pay for their child care. They will pay for their living expenses. They will pay for the lawyers to argue for them in immigration court. They will pay all of that on top of the salary that they're paying them for jobs, and yet it's still beneficial to them. They still prefer to do that over just hiring an American citizen. An American citizen who needs no extra expenditure for a place to live. They do not require your company to provide you child care. They're not provide you. They don't require lawyers to be provided. They don't provide days off. They don't require days off work to go make arguments in immigration court. These are all benefits that companies are happy to give illegal immigrants, because apparently saving $2 an hour on wages makes it all work out. Or they're willing to lose money in their actual mission, which is to destroy the United States through corporate machinations and coercion. Just like how they're willing to lose money selling trans bathing suits at Target because BlackRock tells them to. Or that Hollywood will lose money destroying beloved intellectual properties rather than make a movie that stars a white guy. Maybe they would rather lose money because the actual ultimate goal for them is the destruction of our country, because they're in on it in full awareness of what the effects are going to be to the American people and the fabric of the American culture. We'll be back on the other side with the third hour. We're actually going to start with a clip from Catherine Austin Fitz, who I believe is the first person I've ever seen make the same connection I have been desperately trying to tell people forever, which is that the reason the New World Order is ramping up these days is because they feel like they're on the cusp of infinite life. I've been sounding this alarm and framing this narrative this way for years. Finally, Catherine Austin Fitz is one who seems on my same level here. I'll show you that clip on the other side, and then third hour. Stay tuned. It's War Room Live.
And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker.
And I've told the story. My mother never wants to go on TV, but she did last year. Look, your dad was completely bald. I'm not kidding. And now all this hair is coming in. And hair that was gray started, she was showing me at the restaurant. You've seen it. It's coming in brown. It is buy one, get one free until tomorrow night at midnight central at thealexjonesstore.com.
Even Uncle Oscar now, too much. And we have the very best at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm serious. So. Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
You put that on.
Tell us what happened.
I have been on colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker.
Yes, ChatGPT, what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It is bovine colostrum. It is buy one, get one free at the yellowshowstore.com. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.